Oh, Mr. Tommy, Mr. Tommy, don't you?
Don't I what, Betty Lou?
Don't you know we're having a party with Quaker Oats and everything? Yum, yum.
The makers of delicious Quaker Oats present for your enjoyment the Quaker Party, starring Tommy Riggs and his famous little creation, Betty Lou. Swinging along with our headliners will be Larry Clinton's Streamline Music for Dancing, B. Wayne's Modern Interpretation of Lyrics for Singing, and Colonel Lemuel Q. Stoopnagel's Crazy Antics Just for Laughs. Tommy Riggs and Betty Lou have asked me to thank you for the grand way you received them in their premiere of last week. You know, Tommy Riggs and Betty Lou are just one. In other words, it's Tommy who does Betty Lou's talking as well as his own. So tonight, Quaker Oats again presents in his dual role, Tommy Riggs with Betty Lou.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Now, if I can only find little Betty Lou. Oh, here she comes now.
A green and yellow basket. Hello, Mr. Tommy.
Well, you certainly are happy tonight, Betty Lou.
I should say I am because I'm crazy about monkeys and Mr. Stoopnagel is here tonight, too.
Are you insinuating that Colonel Stoopnagel is a monkey?
Yeah, no. But if he's got a monkey in his family, maybe it'll be around tonight and I'll have a whole bunch of fun with it, too.
Well, what makes you think he has a monkey in his family?
Because I heard him telling someone that I was only imaginary person. And when I said, is that so? Well, I'm Betty Lou, so there, too. He said, well, I'm a monkey's uncle.
Well, that's very cute, Betty Lou, but while we're all alone, I just want to tell you something. You really are just an imaginary person.
Oh, well, then how can I talk and everything?
Well, because I imagine how you would talk if you really were a little girl, so I imitate you like this.
Hello, Mr. Tommy. I'm Betty Lou, so there, too.
See how it's done?
Mm-hmm. But if I'm not a real person, how can I imitate you?
How can you imitate me?
Yes, like this.
Good evening, Betty Lou. Did you eat your Quaker Oats today?
See what I mean?
Did you do that, Betty Lou? Of course I did.
I mean, of course I did. But how?
Why? Who? Say, I'm all mixed up. Old Larry. Larry Clinton.
Yes, Tommy. I heard it all. You're not mixed up. You're just a little cuckoo. It must be that Stoopnagel influence.
Well, while I go into a Brown study, suppose you assist me with that number that you made famous on the airwaves. A study in Brown. Larry Clinton and his band.
Delicious Quaker Oats is good for you. That's something hundreds of thousands of wise housewives have known for over half a century. That is one of the big reasons why today Quaker Oats is America's favorite hot breakfast. Yes, Quaker Oats and Mother's Oats, the delicious, nourishing cereal that's a daily breakfast in so many homes, gives you protein to develop strong muscles and build firm, solid flesh, not fat. Iron to enrich your blood, and the kind of food energy you need for lasting strength. Quaker Oats and Mother's Oats give you something more, too. They give you that precious health food, vitamin B1 or thiamine. Last week on this program, Dr. Frank L. Gunderson, eminent food authority, biochemist, and editor of Nutrition, said, quote, "Thiamine is invaluable to the human body. We know that perfect health is impossible without it. It acts as a food for nerves throughout the body. It is an aid in the digestion of food and in turning that food into energy. It is a requirement for buoyant vitality. In fact, it is really a vitalizing spark which our bodies need if we are to look our best, feel our best, and think our best." End quote. Friends, oatmeal is the richest, thrifty source of thiamine known. Serve this easily prepared breakfast daily and help yourself and your family to health and happiness this economical way. Get the big economical package of delicious Quaker Oats or Mother's Oats at your grocer's.
Up at the Yankee Stadium this afternoon, some 70,000 delirious fans were treated to a third game of the annual baseball classic, the World Series. And here tonight to give us his expert opinions on this event and any other subjects he may drift into, we have that delineator of daffiness, that dean of dizziness, Colonel Lemuel Q. Stupnagel. Colonel, we're all actually awaiting your analysis on the baseball doings of the day.
All right, now the batter's stepping up to the thing. There's the pitch. He hits one right down the left field foul line. Scrodney's going over for it. There's Scrodney rounding first. What a play.
Say, Colonel, please.
What a two runs across the plate. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, gee, where's my error, folks? He struck out.
Say, wait a minute, Colonel. Colonel, all we want are just your opinions on the game.
Well, you certainly made a happy choice, Tommy. I've had a long and colorless career in the national pastime. Did you ever hear of home run Stupnagel?
Who?
Two base hits, Stupnagel.
What's his name?
Foul ball Stoop.
I'm sorry, but I never heard of you.
You never heard me. It must have been before my time. You know, I was with the old Cincinnati No Stockings. We made a lot of improvements on the game that were never taken up by the generation that followed us.
Well, can you remember what any of them were, Colonel?
Well, Tommy, you remember those knot holes in the ballpark fence that people used to stand outside and watch the game through? I always thought that was unfair. So in our park, I had some holes drilled from the inside out so that the players could peek through at the peekers. Perhaps it was too revolutionary. But the game was a lot tougher in those days, Tommy. I'll never forget one series we played with the Baltimore Scavengers. The umpire called a bad decision against us, and the fans went crazy. They yelled, "Kill the umpire! Kill the umpire!"
So what did you do?
Well, what could we do? We killed him.
Well, suppose you tell us about some of your other improvements.
Well, that inspired me to invent a mechanical umpire. Every time he makes a decision, he hits himself over the head with a pop bottle. But, of course, that was only a stepping stone to my next invention.
Well, what was that?
An automatic pop bottle that hits itself on the head with an umpire.
Well, what came next, Colonel?
Well, I never quite perfected it, but the general idea was like this. You've been to a baseball game, haven't you, Thomas?
Yes, every pass I get, Colonel.
Every pass you get. Well, we only use three bases, second, third, and home.
What for?
For people who can't get to first base.
Oh, Mr. Stupnagel.
Well, what is it, my little invisible kittykins?
Well, why are they playing Quaker Oats at the Yankee Stadium? I heard Mr. Tommy say they were.
I said they were playing Quaker Oats.
Yes, you said they were playing the World Cereal there.
Well, Quaker Oats is certainly the World Cereal, Betty, but I think Tommy meant the World Series.
Yes, of course. That's baseball, Betty Lou. You're just a little girl. You wouldn't understand about baseball.
Oh. Well, who's pitching tomorrow, Ruffing or Gomez?
Ruffing or Gomez?
Well, I guess I'm not so little, so there, too.
But how do you know about baseball, young lady?
Well, gee whiz, Mr. Tommy, that's all my daddy and granddaddy talk about, either.
Oh, I remember now. Your daddy was with the Boston Red Sox a couple of seasons.
Yes, and my granddaddy was with the Brooklyn Dodgers last season, too.
Your grandfather was with... Wait a minute, darling. You say your grandfather was with the Brooklyn Dodgers. Why, he's over 70... He's over 70 years old.
He's probably the bat boy.
No, he was a halfback man.
Halfback? Then he was on a football team.
Yeah, no. He was a halfback man for the baseball team. He used to stand at the gate, take your ticket, tear it in half, and give you half back.
Give you half back. I have reached the depths of my profession, straight man in a kindergarten.
Colonel, by the way, who do you think is going to win the series?
Well, the fellow who owns the hot dog concession won't do badly. Now, Betty Lou, how would you like to go to the ball game with me?
Oh, boy, gee whiz, I'd love it.
Well, I'll take you if...
If I buy my own ticket?
No. No, if you'll sing that song I wrote today about take me out to the ball game.
Okay. Ball game. Goodness me, what a crowd. The bets that they make aren't for Cracker Jack. And people wrote out who will have to walk back. Oh, I know who'll win the World Series, but I can't mention the name. But I'll give you a hint. They won the first three at the old ball game.
Colonel Soup Ladle.
Yes, my good woman?
Your suitcase is on fire up there. It's gone up in smoke.
Oh, good. That means my self-starting open hearth fire, which supplies that homey atmosphere for people who live in closed cars, has started working at last. Eureka, I'll be right back, folks.
Fine stuff. He'll probably burn the place down, and I was so anxious for everything to go smoothly, especially tonight.
Why especially tonight, Mr. Tommy?
Well, because I mean...
Because he still likes Miss Wayne a whole bunch. And he wants to take her to the ball game tomorrow. Only it's a secret, and I promised I wouldn't tell a soul, and neither will any of the people I told. So there, too.
Well, Mr. Tommy, you better get right on out and ask her. Because I see both Mr. Seymour and Mr. Clinton waving tickets at her just a minute ago.
Aunt Jemima, I'm on my way. Will you take care of Betty while I do my stuff? Hmm?
Aunt Jemima, do you know anything about baseball?
Why, lands, child. Baseball is my specialty.
I thought it was pancakes.
So it is, but ain't flipping a pancake batter up. And, honey, child, the first chance I get, I was going to cook you one of my famous baseball cakes.
A baseball cake?
Uh-huh. It's called a strawberry shortstop.
Well, gee whiz, how do you make it?
Well, first you take a pitcher. Mm-hmm. And mix up some batter. Sprinkle on some heavy sugar in the outfield. Leave it in the oven for 2 or 3 innings. Spread on some whipped cream. Then put it on a home plate and serve it underhand. here comes Mr. Tommy back again. And he surely looks happy. Doggone. He's got a look in his eyes like a sick chicken up against a hot brick.
Well, my little chickadees, it's a great world after all.
Yes, sir, Mr. Tommy. Now, if you don't need me no more, I've got to talk to the Missing Person Bureau about my husband.
What's happened to him?
Well, you see, this morning I was cooking him up a batch of my famous pancakes. And finally I said, Henry, do you know how many you've ate so far? And he said, I ain't counting them. And I says, well, I is. He was at exactly 36.
36 pancakes, oh boy.
And when he found out I'd been counting them up on him, it made him so doggone mad he walked right out without eating his breakfast.
Well, my daddy was so mad this morning he wouldn't eat his breakfast either.
Your daddy was mad?
Yes, because he was trying to learn to do something and he didn't know how.
Well, the way to learn anything, honey, is to start at the bottom. Always start at the bottom. What was he trying to learn?
How to dig a well. Oh, and an awful funny thing happened today, too.
Yes?
Yes, a little boy passed me on the street and said, hello, Susie. And I said, hello, Willie. He said, I'm not Willie. And I said, well, I'm not Susie. And then we just looked at each other and guess what?
What?
It wasn't either of us, so there, too. you?
Don't I what?
Don't you know that Mr. Seymour thinks you're a magician?
He thinks I'm a magician?
Uh-huh. Because when you went over to talk to Miss Wayne just before the show, he said, "Oh, boy, now watch Mr. Tommy make a donkey out of himself."
Did I hear someone mention my name?
Oh, hello, Miss Wayne.
Betty and I were just clowning around a little, Bee.
Well, do you think you could get serious for just a minute, Tommy?
Yes,
I'd like to hear you sing the song.
Well, for you, Bee, I'd sing a million songs.
Do you mean that?
Gee whiz, this is no place for a 5-year-old little girl.
I'm sorry, Betty. Tommy, you'd better sing.
No wonder I feel like I do. No wonder you wonderful you. You've got 2 eyes that I couldn't resist. What chance did I have when your lips said, "I want to be kissed"? Oh, no wonder I'm talking out loud. No wonder my head's in a cloud. You're just like sunshine from heaven above. No wonder I fall in love with you every day. I fall in love with you, same old way. And every day since our first rendezvous, I fall in love with you. No, no wonder I'm talking out loud. No, no wonder my head's in a cloud. You're just like sunshine from heaven above. No wonder I'm in love, dear. No wonder I'm in love.
Nearly everyone knows how delicious and healthful Quaker Oats and Mother's Oats are. But there are other benefits you may not know about. For example, let's listen in on Mrs. Anderson Pace, a bride of a few months who's enjoying a friendly visit with Andy's mother. The talk turns to the problem of food.
Mother, I'm stumped.
Oh?
Andy keeps talking about the delicious hot breakfast you used to get him. And I'm trying to get along on a budget. Well, I just can't afford a big hot breakfast every morning.
Of course you can, dear. Just serve Quaker Oats. I've never known a man yet who didn't enjoy a big bowl of Quaker Oats for breakfast. I know Andy certainly likes it.
Quaker Oats?
Yes. It's really economical, too. Why, Ruth, I once figured it out, and actually, Quaker Oats cost just about 0.5 cents a serving. You certainly can't beat that for economy.
Yes, Quaker Oats and Mother's Oats are the economical breakfast. Easy to prepare, too, because Quaker Oats can be prepared in just 2.5 minutes, just as quickly as you can make the morning coffee. Start right away to make it a daily habit, to help your family feel and look their best with the economical, healthful breakfast of Quaker Oats or Mother's Oats. They are the same in thiamine content, and both have the famous double rich flavor that comes from Quaker's exclusive roasting process. Ask for the big economical package of delicious Quaker Oats or Mother's Oats at all good grocers. Order a package tonight.
It's Larry Clinton again and his famous orchestra. The tune, At Long Last Love, from the Cole Porter Show, You Never Know. The voice will be that of Bee Wayne.
it an earthquake or simply a shock? Is it the good turtle soup or merely the mock? Is it a cocktail, this feeling of joy? Or is what I feel the real McCoy? Is it for all time or simply a lark? Is it Granada I see or only Asbury Park? Is it a fancy not worth thinking of, or is it at long last
Colonel.
Yes, Thomas?
Say, I understand you've written a play tonight, especially for Betty Lou.
Well, that's right. It's really an adaptation of my latest book, which will not be published on October 15th. I was not going to publish it on the 14th, but they delayed me a day.
What's this book about, Colonel?
Well, it's for people who enjoy not reading. You see, if I sit down not to write a book, I really don't do it up brown. Not only does everybody not read it, but the critics can't say anything mean about it, even the ones who can read.
So there, too, don't you?
Don't I what, Colonel?
Oh, once in a while, don't we all?
I see. But what's the name of this latest book that you did not write?
Well, it's called Mother Goosenagel's Blended Fairy Stories and Stuff. I'm selling it for only a dime, one-tenth of a dollar. Step right up here, brother.
Colonel, please.
Pardon me, I thought the World's Fair had opened. Now, in my Mother Goosenagel play, Cinderella, every character is played by a character from some other fairy tale. For instance, Cinderella's sisters are played by Snow White and Red Riding Hood, you see?
Sounds dappy to me.
Flatterer. I hoped you'd say that. Now, here are the parts. Betty Lou, you play Cinderella.
Oh, goody, goody, too.
And Thomas, you play Prince Charming. B. Wayne is Red Riding Hood. Dan Seymour can be the fairy godmother. And Larry Clinton, you're the three bears.
All three of them? What kind of bears are they?
You're three cinnamon bears.
Cinnamon? Oh, goody. I'll be the spice of the program.
Is you got a part for me, Mr. Colonel?
Yes, Aunt Jemima. You play Snow White.
Hot diggity dog.
Now, the Goosenagel players present a really peachy version of that soul-stirring fairy tale, Cinderella.
Sick of sweeping the floors. I wish somebody would help me. Oh, Aunt Jemima.
Yes, honey child.
Would you help me sweep the floors?
Oh, I can't. I'm Snow White and I've got a date with Dopey. Someday my prince will come.
Oh, gee. Well, here comes the three bears. I wonder if they'll help me. Hello, three bears.
Hello, hello, hello.
Three bears, would you help me sweep the floors?
Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
Oh, dear me.
And so, as poor little Cinderella, her heart broken by her cruel surroundings, sweeps and weeps, or weeps and sweeps, her fairy godmother, a Mrs. Quimby, played by Dan Seymour, slides down the chimney.
Ouch!
My, I forgot to put that fire out. Fire out, Dan. Come on down.
Dear me, what's the matter, my child?
Boo-hoo, I'm sad. That's what's the matter.
Oh, then no wonder you're crying. But cheer up. Here's a couple of tickets to Roseland. Grab yourself a pumpkin and truck on down.
Who's that snoring?
That's Sleeping Beauty. I had to get her in some way. And so little Cinderella goes to the dance at the Royal Palace where the Royal Orchestra is playing the Royal Anthem. Clinton, please. Please. The witching hour approaches. The clock strikes 12. Cinderella runs from the palace. A dividend. Cinderella runs from the palace and starts home through the woods. A shadowy form appears in front of her. She stops.
Where are you going, little Red Riding Hood?
I'm going through the woods to my grandmother's house. No, I'm Cinderella. Who are you?
I'm the big bad wolf.
You're going to scare yourself, Mr. Seymour.
Come here, child.
No, keep away from me. Help, help.
Oh, you want to run, eh? Well, let's go.
They're off. Well, there they are, running the first turn at Cinderella by a nose. The wolf is running second. What a race, folks. What a race. Into the back stretch now. Cinderella's pulling away. There she goes. Round the mulberry bush. Round the mulberry bush. The mulberry bush.
Oh, Mr. Stoopnagle. Mr. Stoopnagle.
What is it, Betty Lou?
Stop beating round the mulberry bush. The mulberry bush. Oh, the mulberry bush. Stop beating round the mulberry bush. Do you or don't you love me? Oh, stop beating round the mulberry bush. The mulberry bush. Oh, the mulberry bush. Now stop beating round the mulberry bush. Will you or won't you kiss me?
You are in all my dreams and holes. Dreams and holes. Dreams and holes. You've got me hanging on the road, ready for the knockouts.
Stop going in and out the window. Stop going in and out the window. Stop going in and out the window. You're going to stop. Beating round the mulberry bush. Oh, the mulberry bush and the mulberry bush. Now stop beating round the mulberry bush. Do you or don't you love me?
Will you or won't you love me?
Stop beating round.
Who's beating round?
Stop beating round. Stop beating around the bush.
Well, Betty Lou, a lady who's appeared in over 100 moving pictures in the last 8 years. And now she's back on Broadway with a new play entitled 30 Days Has September. That grand woman of the stage and screen, Alison Skipworth.
Oh, I like her, too. And will Larry Clinton, B. Wayne, and Danny Seymour be here, too?
They sure will, Betty Lou.
Oh, goody, then we can have another party with Quaker Oats and everything. Yum, yum.
Yes, Betty Lou, yum, yum. And ladies and gentlemen, please don't forget to ask your grocer for Quaker Oats or Mother's Oats when you want that delicious and satisfying breakfast. Say, Betty Lou, why are you pulling on my coat?
Well, I just wanted to say that hi-ho and someday my prince will come are from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And this is the National Broadcasting Company.